Okay. Here we are. Welcome back to hour number two tonight. It's crazy. Just crazy out there. Crazy with disinformation. Crazy with misinformation. Let me kindly repeat a suggestion when you walk through and look around and tour the world of alt news. In my humble estimation, the great majority of the alt news is a literal creation of the deep state. It is manned and operated by deep state constructs, people who came out of nowhere. Suddenly they have these glitzy sets. They have these huge supermarkets of supplies and all kinds of supplements. They're making lots of money, and they're all frauds. Yes, they're putting good information out sometimes, but that's how the game is played. They have to establish credibility. So remember the 80-20 or 90-10 rule. It's not a rule, it's just an unspoken way to kind of examine it all. They're putting out good stuff, but they're also putting out crap. And one of the biggest loads of crap is what we're going to talk about first in this hour. Welcome back, partner. How you doing?
Hi, Jeff. Good to be back.
Did you have a wonderful day? A wonderful day today, did you have? I hope.
Yeah. I can't
good.
Complain. It was okay.
Good. All right.
You?
Very good. Oh, yeah, if it gets any better, it'll be intolerable. God. I'm telling you, I have this theory, and I think maybe we mentioned it before, but I believe that it is possible. Now, I'm qualifying this. It is possible, I personally think it's probable, that the shedding going on from coast to coast among the 83% who are vaxxed and the 17% who are not vaxxed, I think that we know, in all likelihood, that the 83% have suffered some kind of mental trauma from the spike protein. Some kind. Fair enough?
Something, yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of reports of people who are not the same anymore. Not only are they not acting the same, but they don't look the same. They've aged. That's commonly reported now. So my theory is that the 83% are already probably psychologically, psycho-emotionally damaged, somehow impacted, and that the 17% are going to follow along because of spike infestation and shedding. And then if you factor in also the mRNA is being shed, and if the body in fact does reproduce the mRNA, we're all up the creek without a paddle. And that's the truth. I think that the majority of Americans, more than the 83%, have in all likelihood begun the process of heading down the road toward mental aberrations, mental damage, emotional damage, and I think you're going to see a lot of people who are not themselves at all ever again. And I think it's happening right now. That's my theory, and you know, you can laugh, but I think that there's a lot to be said for the possibility that that spike protein is being spread and shed everywhere, and when it gets in your body, it'll go everywhere you have blood, and that's your brain included. And when it gets into your brain, it starts microclotting and killing brain cells. Depending upon where those brain cells are and how many of them die, you won't be the same person to one degree or another. And I'm going to stop right there.
Yeah, it's that spike can do a lot of damage no matter where it ends up. I mean, the worst, of course, would be the brain or the heart. But lots of reports of kidney issues these days, people with swollen ankles, swollen legs, which is often an indication of either heart failure or kidney damage. And these are unvaxxed. Just people that have been working around the vaxxed or in domestic situations with vaxxed people.
Now, when you say swollen ankles, we're talking about, we've all had socks on that are tight, and over time during a day you'll get a bump where the sock, upper hem of the sock is, where the elastic is, and it'll get a little swelling around there. But you take the socks off and 20 minutes, it's back to normal. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about serious, significant swelling of the lower leg. Yes?
Yeah, if you press your finger on it, there'll be an indentation, and it'll take a few minutes before it comes back. They're swollen.
Mm-hmm.
They've got fluid retention.
Right. Why is that? What are the kidneys not doing? Are they not removing excess fluid from your body, and it's agglutinating at the bottom of your legs? The kidneys are not removing fluid then. Okay.
Yeah, there's impairment in kidney function. And, of course, mm-hmm. kidneys are one of the first things that are damaged in diabetes silently.
Right.
Because they're so dependent on a supply of blood to that organ to function normally. And those little nephrons in there are, you know, they're microscopic. They can be very easily damaged with oxidative stress, the endothelial damage that happens at the capillary level.
Mm-hmm.
And that and the eyes are another one. You know, like vision problems are becoming a thing. And more people now have the ringing in the ears. And again, I'm speaking of unvaxxed people.
Right. That's well, you monitor that. We haven't done too much on tinnitus lately, but that, just imagine, I did play one program examples of the sound that people hear, the frequency range. And it I couldn't even imagine, they say they can't sleep. It keeps them awake, and it's horrible, the tinnitus. Now, you mentioned also diabetes. Okay. That's apparently being reported now more commonly than ever before. It seems to be breaking out from its traditional graph and hitting more people. That's what you're seeing?
Yes, that's been a frequent side effect of the vax, people coming down with diabetes shortly thereafter. Mm-hmm. Why that is, I don't know. You know, we could speculate that the spike is going into the pancreas and the lipid nanoparticle is transfecting cells in the pancreas that are required to produce insulin, and instead they're producing spike protein.
Well, and we're also seeing a lot of pancreatic cancer from the spike protein in all likelihood. That's not good either. You can get diabetes from eating too many chocolate turtles, too, I understand.
Yes, if you don't have your insulin syringe handy, that could happen.
I see. Okay. Those things are good. Those little chocolate turtles. I'm sure some of you have those. They look like a turtle, and they got peanuts in them, and they're delicious.
Or walnuts. Anyhow. Walnuts and pecans and cashews.
Yeah. It's all good stuff, and it's too good. But we have to be responsible, and if you don't have diabetes, and you do eat a few too many turtles, you won't necessarily get diabetes. It's not something you're going to get in a week. It takes time.
Yeah, well, I mean, diabetes occurs for, you know, if the cells of the pancreas don't produce insulin, that would be type 1 diabetes.
Right. I don't want to scare people. So it's not like if you eat a candy bar, you're not going to get diabetes the next day. Yeah, so.
But that type of diet, high sugar without exercise to counteract the intake of energy there, you know, it can lead to insulin insensitivity, and then the pancreas works harder and harder and churns out more insulin, and the cells become insulin resistant and stop responding. And you get build up blood sugar that damages the blood vessels, and you get small blood vessel disease.
Well, I go up and down the stairs a few times a day, so I'm all right. Lots of exercise. No
as long
problem.
As you get out of the chair at least once.
I have to. All right. Here's the deal. Long ago and far away, we talked about the frauds and the liars that are absolutely at home in the alt-news coverage of this catastrophic world global genocide, right? We've covered the whole story. We're in our third year now. One of the early things that was blamed as being the primary culprit, even to the extent that people were completely disallowing the spike protein as being a factor. They were saying it's all, I hate to say it, forgive me, graphene oxide, or just graphene now. This is another story out today, another one. And as you know, if you follow this, there are a lot of pundits, we'll call them pandemic pundits, who like to say that it's all graphene. In fact, one of them was even saying recently, who the hell was that? Saying there's no such thing as a spike protein, and it was all graphene. Somebody said that. I don't remember.
Oh, I've seen that many times.
Here's the headline. Doctors find graphene is shedding from the COVID-vaccinated to the unvaccinated, forming blood clots and decimating blood cells. No mention of the spike protein. That's what's being shed. This is complete bullshit. And sorry, but that's what it is. It's all lies. And people are only too happy, if they hear it often enough, to begin to assimilate it into their repertoire of material that they know firsthand about this whole horror. Here's a story. It's in the expose. A doctor has made this pronouncement, and so it's got to be true. It's got a big story. He, the doctor, unannounced by name at the beginning of the story, for some reason, also demonstrated that shards, remember that the story about little tiny razor blades that were supposedly slicing up your blood vessels and everything else? Remember that one, friends?
Yep.
You do.
Yep.
All right. He also demonstrated that shards of graphene are being transmitted from vaxxed to vaccine-free or unvaxxed people, destroying their red blood cells and causing blood clots in the unvaxxed. Wow. Wowzers.
Haven't we seen this before, at least?
Only 400 times. Dr. Philippe Van Welbergen, otherwise known as Dr. Philippe, medical director of the biomedical clinics, was one of the first to warn the public of the damage being caused to people's blood by COVID injections by releasing images last year of blood samples under his microscope. At the beginning of July 2021, Dr. Philippe was interviewed on a South African community channel, Loving Life TV. He explained that when his patients began complaining about chronic fatigue, dizziness, memory loss, and even sometimes paralysis, and late onset of heavy menstruation in women in their 60s and upwards, he took blood samples. Their blood had unusual tube-like structures, some particles which lit up, and many damaged cells. Some particles that lit up, tube-like structures. How did the author of this article get away without using the words self-assembling and
I think this is a recycled version of an article that was put out a year or more ago. It sounds familiar.
Like, it does sound like it. Few healthy cells were visible, said Dr. Philippe. Until 3 months earlier, he had never seen these formations in blood, he says. We now know these tube-like structures are graphene. Do we now? Do we know they're graphene? Really?
How did he confirm that?
He looked, he saw, he pronounced.
Oh, okay, right.
Since then, Dr. Philippe has been a regular guest on Loving Life TV, blowing the whistle on the experimental COVID injection rollout, providing updates on the increasing damage being done to blood by the experimental COVID injections over time, and giving updates on the COVID situation in the UK and South Africa. Well, Dr. Philippe, let me be the first to gently submit this to you. You are as wrong as you could be. This is not an injection. This is a biological weapon that has nothing to do with COVID. Dr. Philippe, the data is out there. We suggest very humbly that you re-educate yourself and stop running your dumb mouth. You're wrong. There's no graphene. It's all crap. It's spike protein, it's mRNA, and other things that we don't even know about yet. But the disinformation here is endless, and these people have to constantly reinvent themselves in order to stay hot, so they get invited to all these useless, fraudulent alt-news media television platforms, which is what it is. Yes, every tube-like structure is graphene in the blood. Uh-huh. Everyone. Well, so again, without belaboring this too much more, don't buy into the graphene stuff or the Hydra stuff or all the other stuff they put out there to try and give people answers to the unanswerable. The unanswerable being, how did they get away with releasing a genocidal bioweapon into the bodies of 6 billion people? Close to it. How did they do that? They did it with fear. And they did it with mandates. But mostly they did it with a lack of education in the public, in the victims. They just took advantage of them and ran them into the ground. And look where we are now. And 80% of the oracles that most people look at in the alt news for information and guidance about this horror, this nightmare, they're frauds. They're paid, they're created, they're frauds. Are they saying all lies all the time? Not necessarily. But they are placed, most of them, they are created. Look at the top three platforms.
Or if they are putting out a narrative that is gaining some popularity, they will be supported, let's put it that way, promoted,
exactly.
Supported, amplified.
Doors open, bang, 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 no problem. Yeah, you do what you're told or you do what they want you to, and the results are pretty much the same. Things will become available to you. You'll have your own superstore.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the people that are doing, some really legitimate, groundbreaking research are shadow banned, deplatformed. Those are the people you want to seek out. I'll tell you that right now. And they are out there.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, that's enough on graphene. It's not going to go away. This is a mainstream piece of their disinformation.
Well, it's simple. It's a simple concept that people can wrap their heads around. I think the spike protein, most people don't even know what a protein is. That dawned on me recently. They don't know what a protein is.
No, and they can't find their kidneys either.
Right. So.
Right.
I don't know. It means you're either going to get it or not. And if you follow the wrong narrative, well, it's like Jonas Salk said, it's survival of the wisest at this point.
You said that. I heard you told me that, and you're right.
Well, I don't know. It's
Salk, you quoted
prescient.
Salk. It's
Salk,
totally
yeah,
prescient.
It will be. Yeah. Ignorance is going to be very costly in these next couple of years.
Well, this is what I was told years ago by a source. He said, if you use your head and if you prepare and stand firmly in the light of truth, you'll survive what's coming. If you don't, you won't. That's what I was told. And I began to try and prepare to the best of my ability. And everything I was told is factual and is happening.
People do not understand what we're dealing with, that this is biological warfare. I mean, we have never, to our knowledge, or at least in our awareness, have had to confront something, a threat of this nature. People don't know how to do it. There's a tendency to think that it's all psychological, that it's just a fear campaign. But I would submit that, no, it really isn't. We have ample proof now that there is an infectious protein, maybe more than one, that's now contaminating the environment, that are fellow human beings who have taken these injections are now walking, talking bioweapons. And the perpetrators of this are just biding their time, waiting for people to do what people do.
And people are so, most people are so tragically predictable. It's not hard to get them to perform on cue. All right. We have a video to play here in a couple minutes, but I thought maybe you want to do this this despair?
Just sure, we could do that, yeah.
Duck it in,
yeah.
Here. I haven't been able to read it yet. Why don't you go ahead and take the first part? And
let me get it in front of me here. Okay, this is Another vax-injured person. Yes.
Myocarditis, pericarditis.
Some days, I really want to give up. I fear I'll never recover or have a normal life after this. On top of all of my other diagnoses, MCAS, that's mast cell activation syndrome, POTS, autoimmune, Raynaud's, HEDS, and the list goes on and on. I think my case is severe. The nonstop feeling of bricks on my chest and pain surrounding and stabbing my heart with zero ability to even do the most simple task or lift anything more than a pound. Just cleaning one dish makes my heart hurt so bad and get palpitations and arrhythmias. I feel like I'm just waiting to die. A slug glued to my couch for 16 months on disability, hardly showering or able to care for myself. I'm so unbelievably sad. I cry every day. This is so awful. I'm so sorry to all suffering. I think my case is severe. 70% scarring seen with my 12 map. I'm scared. My life is over.
This is a woman, I think, right?
Young woman, yep.
Okay. For those of you maybe new to this, she is not alone. This is not unusual. She may not know that the dimension of the horror that has been visited upon these people who were unfortunate enough to react with myocarditis or pericarditis after getting one of these shots, or more than one. This is not uncommon. We've covered this kind of thing before on the program. It is horrible beyond measure to imagine your heart hurting constantly and feeling like there's an enormous weight on your chest, getting fatigued after doing a dish. 16 months.
It's unbelievable.
That's not living. That's not a quality of life. No. She says, I think my case is severe, 70% scarring seen with my 12 map. It's a test. I'm scared my life is over. Wow. Go ahead.
Someone asks, what have you tried so far? And she replies, I'm literally doing everything right. Resting, eating the most organic, healthy, non-histamine triggering foods, taking all the good supplements. I tried HBOT, hyperbaric oxygen therapy. I do red light therapy. I do grounding. I've seen copious amounts of doctors. I take a lot of anti-inflammatory stuff. I'm about to start low-dose naltrexone. I really don't think there's hope. Once you've reached a certain amount of scarring, I think it's permanent, and that's what my mind is having trouble grasping. If something has helped for you, please let me know. Sorry, I don't have a lot of strength to list off every single thing individually. I'm looking into possible mold in my home and to see if I can get it remediated, but it's extremely expensive. A few of my doctors have pointed that it may be the cause of my inflammatory reactions that happened so severely and why I may have reacted to the vax so badly.
She reacted to the vax badly.
I would say that it's a normal reaction of a healthy body to reject this crap.
Yep.
Someone asked her, do you have high or low blood pressure? And she answers, very low. Why? Give low-dose naltrexone a try. I've heard good things about it. So for those that don't know, low-dose naltrexone has some benefit for autoimmune disorders. It can reduce the cytokines that are causing the attack on the affected organ. Last comment. Sending you hugs. I've been feeling the same, and it's really hard for others to understand. All we can do half the time is get the inner strength to just simply want more out of life. Waiting lists are stressful, and just trying to accomplish something or anything is like Mission Impossible. But you just took the first step to vent and have hope for support and want more in life. It's when we give up that we get worse. So sending high amounts of hope to you and hope that you can get the help and support you need today.
You know, I'm thinking about these groups that we quote from so often, and we will do more in this program later. But without these social media groups of support, where would these people be?
I know.
And again, not everyone who's been injured, 83% of 340 million people, well, think about it. It's 250 plus million people. And
yeah,
where do they go for help? Where do they go for some to find someone to commiserate with? Someone who will understand that they're not making it up. They go to a doctor, and I look, a lot of doctors are wonderful people, and they try hard. A lot of them are pieces of crap.
Yeah.
And their staffs are worse. They're garbage. And they
and a lot of them are restricted by, you know, the either hospital protocols or insurance company protocols. So their hands are tied in terms of what testing they can do, what diagnosis they can offer. And these people are really left to flounder, and it's pitiful.
So a relatively few of them, like how many are in this MyoPerry group approximately? How many?
I think there's a little less than 3,000 right now. And this is just one. There are several.
Right. All right. Well, let's say there are five groups, 3,000 each. That's 15,000 people who are suffering from Myo or Perry. And those people are at least able to talk to others about this thing. That's 15,000 people out of maybe 50 million who have this condition. It is said that every single person who has taken a shot ends up with Myo or Perry, one or the other. It is said. Hard to know the degree, but
Well, the tricky thing is it can be subclinical. You may not have symptoms, but there could be damage, and you won't know about it until maybe 5 years.
Well, that's what they actually, if you're diagnosed with pericarditis, Myo, you may have 5 years, and they'll put you on a heart transplant list. But that's a joke. You can't get a heart because it's full of spike protein. Of course, yours already is too, so maybe you'll buy yourself a few years. I don't know. It's just horrible, the whole thing. This is literally the end of life as we knew it on this planet. And we're front row center watching it.
I suspect that they're either going to have, you know, these humanized pig hearts available, or some sort of organoid, a 3D printed organ. Yeah.
Well, I think the pig heart thing is definitely on the way. They have claimed to have been able now to have defeated the rejection issue of pig hearts in people. And if that's the case, then pig hearts may be quite the item.
Yeah, I'm sure they have some solution.
Yeah. Hey, Pete, how are you? I haven't seen you for a while. How's that pig heart doing? You're looking good. I mean, you never know where this is going to go. Pig hearts could be a huge industry here.
Well, they're already using the valves, the pig valves for valve replacements.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. We have a video here. And by the way, Friday, Yoshi will be back here, and we're going to talk about Fukushima 12th year, and where we are now. Eric has made the case that the damage caused by the spike and this whole syndrome is very much reflective. It's a mirror of damage done by radiation in the human body without the radioactivity. So that's interesting. We have a video, which is 4 minutes, I think, how niacin fights radiation. You want to set this up?
Yeah, so niacin, it's a B vitamin, vitamin B3. And when we're speaking about this niacin, it's the flush form, the one that gives you what feels like a heat rash kind of all over your body after you take it, which is a good thing. That's a sign that it's working to flush inflammation out of cells. And this was used therapeutically by Dr. Abram Hoffer way back, and it was kind of the basis for orthomolecular medicine, using nutrients to regain health. And sometime, I think it was during the 1950s, L. Ron Hubbard used this flush niacin as part of his purification program, detoxing people from, at the time it was drug addiction, but he also found out that it was good for radiation poisoning. The fact that so much of the pathology with spike poisoning is similar to that which we see with radiation is probably the reason why one of the protocols that's working for many people out there is having some success. Niacin is the vitamin or substrate that's needed to produce NAD in the body, which is what you need to make energy. It's also required for DNA repair, and it's also required for managing redox reactions, reduction in oxidation, so transferring electrons around the body. And without it, you're really in a bad place. And the spike protein is known to cause a depletion of niacin, which it can be overcome simply by taking the niacin. And in particular, this flush type. If you take the other forms, it will put a stress on your methylation system. It depletes methyl groups. But niacin, flush niacin, all by itself, is a direct precursor to NAD without putting a strain on methylation. And there is a protocol out there. Dr. Dimitri Katz originally came up with this thing when COVID was announced. His protocol at the time was known as niatonin, and it was a combination of flush niacin and melatonin. And he has since done revised it a few times, and now it's very simply niacin plus L-glutamine. But if you're interested in learning more about it, you can look up his website. It's called Homeostasis. And the E is actually a number 3 instead of a E. It's a numeral 3. And you can find more information about how to pursue that if that makes sense to you. But it really is having tremendous benefits in helping people push out the garbage from these shots and also restore the energy balance.
So, okay. There are a lot of videos about niacin out there, but keep in mind that you want the flush niacin type if you're going to give this a try. I mean, there's
the other thing.
Go ahead.
Oh, just to mention, the other thing is that this particular form of niacin, the flush niacin, is also remarkably effective at preventing clots because it will lower the amount of fibrinogen in the blood, which is one of the components of these clots. And if you can get up to about 1 gram to 3 grams a day, you will get a therapeutic benefit in that regard. So it's anti-inflammatory and works well alongside something like natokinase to prevent this unwanted clotting that's characteristic of spike poisoning.
Now, these are amyloid clots that we're talking about.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, we had that study that came out. I think I forwarded to you to send to, what's his name there, whose wife has Alzheimer's?
Frosty.
Frosty, yes. Yeah. So this, yes, the niacin was shown to be preventative against these amyloid plaques in Alzheimer's. And in mice, it reversed it in 5 days. So, yes.
Now that's quite a shocking statement. We'll see what Frosty, he'll certainly plug that in. He was very grateful to get that. So we'll find out. We'll keep you posted. All right, here's this video. There are several videos on the side of the page, too. If you look under our names and guests tonight, you'll find the video. It should be there. Is a niacin flush harmful or dangerous? Dr. Eric Berg. How to take niacin without hurting your liver. There's a bunch. There's a lot of things. Niacin, vitamin B. It's also known as vitamin B3. Niacin's impact on cholesterol. So it's interesting. It's a way. They don't call it flush for nothing. Okay. All right, here we go. This is Jason Carter. We'll see what he has to say. No, it won't play for me yet. Hold on. There it goes.
And today I'm going to detail how niacin combats and even restores damage from radiation exposure. Short-term exposure to high-dose radiation, like what you would get from an X-ray machine, can result in injury to the endothelial lining of blood vessels, along with increased inflammation and excessive blood clotting. Niacin, and especially original Flushing niacin, also known as nicotinic acid, exhibits numerous effects that attack both inflammation and excessive blood clotting. Niacin also, as you already know, sharply reduces blood levels of common inflammatory cytokines like tumor necrosis factor alpha, interleukin 6, interleukin 1 beta, and interleukin 8, while also repairing damage to the interior lining of our blood vessels, the endothelial cells of which would otherwise certainly suffer from radiation-induced damage. And these inflammatory cytokines are the very same ones that are elevated following radiation exposure. Levels of the inflammatory cytokine interleukin 1 beta in particular increase significantly in the presence of radiation and remain elevated long after the initial exposure. Time is, of course, extremely critical with radiation exposure, so the sooner you can begin treating it, the better. And niacin's restorative protection from radiation is a great example of why I say that the best results with niacin are always seen with consistent, ongoing, daily use.
And just a reminder, Friday, Yoshi will be here. We're going to talk about Fukushima. And all of us are being exposed to radiation every day from Fukushima. Never mind, they just formally, officially began to empty the thousands of tanks full of that deadly water over there, pouring it right into the ocean. They don't care. They don't care. So we're all getting dosed with radiation, which does similar damage as do the spike proteins. It's a very strange overlap, but it's real.
Niacin also famously elevates the beneficial high-density lipoprotein, or HDL cholesterol, better than anything else, and consistently elevated HDL, through reducing tissue deposition of dietary cholesterol, guards against the development of the coronary artery disease that can follow radiation exposure. Niacin is also the primary precursor for nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide, or NAD, one of the body's most critical coenzymes. And NAD is consumed in enormous quantities during any kind of excessive physical stress, and this definitely includes radiation exposure. Immediately after a radiation-induced injury, our cells activate metabolic enzymes known as poly-ADP ribose polymerases, or PARPs, and also restorative proteins known as sirtuins. And while all of them require plentiful NAD to function, the most NAD-consuming of all are known as PARP1, and sirtuin 1, and both of these, when fueled with abundant NAD, do the restorative maintenance of repairing mitochondria, telomeres, and DNA. So if you're not replenishing NAD levels regularly through daily intake of, ideally, original Flushing niacin, the enormous quantities of NAD needed to fuel these PARP enzymes and sirtuins can cause a rapid depletion of NAD, leading to accelerated cell death.
Where else can people get NAD? In a dietary sense?
You can't. NAD has to be made inside the cell.
The only one.
So it's similar to glutathione. If you take the glutathione, it breaks down and then has to be resynthesized inside the cell. So you take NAD precursors like niacin.
Got it. Okay, here we go.
A strand breakage in particular occurs very quickly after exposure to radiation and is also an immediate trigger for PARP1 activity. So again, this is another reason why daily replenishment of NAD through niacin supplementation is so important, because higher NAD at the time of damage then facilitates enhanced repair at the site of damage. Sirtuin 1, for its part, reduces the activity of P53, thus rendering cells far less susceptible to apoptosis, even in the presence of heavily damaging and P53-inducing stimuli, like radiation. And while
don't forget the P53 gene that we've talked about for 3 years now, that the spike protein loves to disable?
Mm-hmm.
It's a key gene that normally keeps cells from growing out of their normal range. Cancer. All right? So that's one of your hallmark anti-tumor, anti-cancer, God-given benefits that the spike protein annihilates.
P53 yep. ordinarily plays a key role in controlling cellular division and cell death. Excessive P53 accelerates cell death, rapid premature aging, and also the likelihood of cancer. Niacin's famous flush, which is both a dilation of the blood vessels directly beneath the skin and an aggressive thermodynamic extraction of inflammation as heat on the skin's surface, both looks and feels extremely inflammatory, especially a large dose taken on an empty stomach. So if you're completely new to taking niacin, then it's best to start with a low dose, like 100 milligrams or less, especially if you're sensitive, and definitely take it with food. You will grow accustomed to the niacin dose you're taking, and when that happens, you'll no longer flush at that particular dose. So if you're taking niacin daily, then this is the best time to gradually increase your dose if you feel that's appropriate for you.
Okay, that little video is in guests under our names in hour number two tonight. So if you want to review that and think about it, do. Up to you. Okay.
Yeah, it's, I would just say for pennies, I mean, niacin is very inexpensive to add to a supplement regimen. And as I said, you know, without NAD, adequate levels of NAD, which decline with age anyway. I mean, NAD before all this COVID nonsense started was the darling of the longevity enthusiasts and anti-aging community. They were very interested, still are interested, I would say, in how to restore youthful levels of NAD in the cell. And there were a couple patented precursors out there sold for some money, nicotinamide riboside, known as NR, and then nicotinamide mononucleotide, NMN. Interestingly, NMN was just banned by the FDA back in November. They're going to make it a drug, if that tells you anything.
That's all we need to know.
Yep. And the fact that niacin is not being discussed anywhere, really, other than this Dimitri Katz's protocol, should tell you something. And he is one of the people that they continually shadow ban and deplatform. So worth checking out.
All right. The video is there for you. And copy the URL, put it away. And if you want to pursue it, there you go. Okay. We have more human stories. We don't have much time left, just about 8 minutes, 7 minutes. What would you like to do here?
Oh, why don't we do some more readers?
Okay. We've got spreading, shedding. I hate to sound like we're in a rut here with shedding, but that's how the end game is being played.
Well, we have. I've got a couple. Got a couple new ones tonight. 8th of March.
Ear pain. Hyperacusis.
Yep.
What is that?
Or unvaxxed. Dies suddenly.
All right. Let's see where we go with that. Go ahead.
This is from a medical practitioners group sharing stories. One says, I had a healthy, unvaxxed patient die suddenly over the weekend. Just saying. Another practitioner says, well, I expect this is the new normal now. I had a family with 6 kids, youngest in kindergarten. Healthy young mother died suddenly on Sunday.
Okay, this is really important. That was short, but the idea...
There's a follow-up, a couple comments more.
We got it. We'll get there. I just want you to keep in mind that people are dying all over the place. This is being kept out of the mainstream media. It's a big secret. But if you follow the efforts that we try to bring to bear on this horrible hiding of the truth and do your own research, you'll see. This is the year of the funeral. People are dying all over the place. It's not a joke. Go ahead and finish.
Another practitioner says, did they ever have COVID? Because you can get the spike from both injections and infections. Answer is yes. He had long COVID, which had improved. Also, he lost his job of 27 years due to the vax mandate. He was denied from his long-term disability because they don't consider long COVID a thing. He wouldn't go to cardiology because he couldn't tolerate wearing a mask.
Okay, just a little note again on masks for you newcomers out there. We do think they're very important to try to prevent or cut down your exposure when you're around people who have been vaxxed. They are dumping spike and mRNA constantly, and maybe other things as well. They're dumping it through aerosolized particulates when they exhale and through all evaporation from the skin and direct skin contact. So you must take precautions. We recommend wearing a mask anytime you're in a store or an office or a building. And I don't mean 8 hours a day in an office. If you're in an office environment 8 hours a day, you really should look for another job. We don't think people should wear masks for 8 hours a day. That's ridiculous. 20 minutes in a store, fine. No problem at all. You can handle it. And then gloves. We're wearing gloves now in stores for obvious reasons. If you think of the human body as a sponge, all right, try this. Two wet sponges. Put one sponge on top of the other. Is there a transfer? You bet. That's what happens if you have relations with someone who is your vax opposite. Two sponges. Just think about it. The transmission. Okay. All right, those are helpful. But again, died suddenly. What's the latest on your monitoring of paramedics?
Oh,
what are we hearing?
That's gone. The group is gone.
Ah. Well,
as of about a week ago, as far as I can tell, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. What do we want to do here? Ear pain?
Myocarditis is probably short enough here.
All right.
Unless you want something new and different.
No, that's okay. Are you experiencing neurological type pains in your face, throat, ear, ringing, and stabbing pains also? And the answers come in, yes, I get this all over my body, pins and needles and nerve pain. I don't know if this is another gift from the vaccine or a colchicine side effect. I went to see my GP about this, but he blew me off. Then I brought this up to my cardiologist. And he insisted it's anxiety. He reluctantly made a referral to a neurologist, but the appointment isn't until August. I don't know what I'll do until August. So scary, says one person. And then a response to that is, well, at least there was a cancellation at the neurologist's office, and my appointment is now in May.
Well, glad it's not an emergency.
God. is,
told me your
is
heart.
Just, that's all. No problem. Go ahead with number two there.
Another answer. Yes, in my throat. And more recently, in my toes, in my left foot. It's awful. Another one. Yes, throat. Limbs feel like they've been karate chopped. Tingles running up and down my right leg.
Uh-huh.
Another one just says, yes.
Are these the vaxxed or unvaxxed?
Vax. This is vax injured.
Okay.
I mean, this is in addition to myocarditis, pericarditis.
Got it.
Another one says, I get random pains anywhere in my body or feelings of intense goosebumps, especially on the back of my right thigh. I'm having it now. It's so weird. I also get crawling and tingling all over my head. And the last one says, I would recommend anyone experiencing this try supplementing with magnesium L-threonate, preferably taking a few hours before sleeping at a time when you aren't taking any other supplements. This type of magnesium is able to raise levels of the element in the nervous system much more effectively than other types of magnesium like citrate or glycinate. It did a good job of putting a stop to myoclonic jerks I was experiencing a while back.
Myoclonic jerks. I saw a couple of them in the store today. Oh, I don't know. This is all just preposterously absurd and crazy.
It
and
is.
Insane.
Never ending.
No, it's
They're not getting better. That's the thing. And you know, there's less dialogue now in a lot of these groups because they're worn out. There's nothing left to talk about.
Remember, that was one of the first things I ever asked you. Are these people who have been hurt getting better? And you said no.
I would say a very small percentage either got lucky, you know, it's just a matter of time, and didn't get any more vax, or they were very aggressive in pursuing treatment. They had some knowledge of the human body and what might be going wrong, and they knew how to go about dealing with it.
The catastrophic results of getting injected with this bioweapon, I think most of you have a pretty good grasp on the range of it now, but it still can pop up with any kind of symptomology you can imagine. It's crazy. The body is so complex, and the spike protein goes everywhere and does nothing but damage, bad damage, terminal damage. So your symptoms could be almost anything. This woman's talking about the back of her thigh, for example. It's all neurology. Remember, the spike has a strong affinity for going into the nerves. That wherever it can get in,
right,
it'll go in. And these are neurological responses. So it's the sky's the limit. Where there are nerves, there can be damage, and there can be symptoms. That's simple. Anything you want to add?
Oh, no, that should do it.
I think so. All right. Thanks. Good job. Great job,
okay,
as always.
Thank you, Jeff. All right. Good night, everyone.
Okay, gang, we'll be right back with Dr. Peter Bregan in just a few minutes. Don't miss that. Coming up next.